Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. He's awesome. He's mighty. Father, we consult you, the great and mighty I am. We thank you that you are our Lord and our Savior. We thank you that you are our King and our Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we repent before you for everything that we've done against your will. Forgive us, O God. Father, cleanse our hearts that we might serve you better, that we may honor you as the King of Kings, that we may honor you as Lord, Father, God, Shepherd. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, for cleansing our hearts daily. In the name of Jesus, we know no good thing can come from our flesh, so help us to not walk by the flesh, but walk by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, that we have on our battle gear. Oh, God, we have on our helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. Our loins are girded about with truth. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have the sword of the Spirit in one hand, the shield of faith in the other, and you are our rear guard. And so, Father, today we give all praise, all honor, all glory to you. You are the King. You are the Lord. You are the Lord God Almighty. Nobody's greater. Nobody's holier. Nobody's mightier than you. So we say hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Almighty God. Hallelujah to our Creator, to our Maker. Oh, God, we're like Job when he said, we desire the words of your mouth more than our necessary food. So, Father, we are thanking you today. In the name of Jesus, oh God, for spiritual food, for feeding us with your spiritual food, oh God. Oh God, let us hear your voice clearer than ever before. In the mighty holy name of Jesus, we say, Lord, have your way, Lord. Lord, have your way in us. Have your way, Father. We consult you, the great and mighty I am. We consult you as Father, Lord, and Shepherd. We need guidance today. We need wisdom. We need knowledge. We need understanding. Oh, God, increase our faith in you, oh, God. We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, Father, by faith, we know, oh, God, that every need is met. By faith, we know that we are healed. By faith, we know that we are provided for. By faith, we know that we are guided by your Holy Spirit. By faith, oh God, we know that one day you will come back to this earth and help us to be ready when you come. Be ready when you come. Help us to be ready when you come. So, Father, we honor your presence and we say thank you and hallelujah. We say amen and hallelujah. What a great Father you are. Mighty in all your ways. Mighty in all your ways. Father, we thank you that we can call on your mighty name, your holy name, your righteous name. You are King. You are Lord. You are Abba. You are Abba Father, which art in heaven. We glorify you. We magnify you. We say hallelujah, 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 amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you.
Well, God is ordering our steps today in his word to read the B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving this earth. Genesis 37:5 says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. Well, we ain't worried about our haters because we know God got us. It's time to praise the Lord like never before. We got to praise him in the morning, praise him in the afternoon, praise him in the evening, praise him more and more each day. Every time we pray, oh, yeah, yep, the praises go up. The blessings come down to us. Hallelujah. What a great Father we have. He's awesome, and he loves us with all of his heart. Hallelujah. We are privileged to be children of the Most High God. We are privileged to be chosen by the King of Kings. And we love and adore him with all of our heart, soul, and in Jesus' name. Well, we got Glory Dean Charlo on with us today from Marrero, Louisiana. We're going to ask her to pray a song of praise unto the Lord. Good afternoon, Mr. Glory Dean. How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you, and good afternoon to you and all the others on the line today. Thank God. Hallelujah. Well, I'll sing.
What are you going
to sing? I'll sing a little short song, the praise song. It's short, you know. So just hold on. Throat wasn't right.
Thank you so much. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Yep, we got to praise him all day long. In the night, in the morning, in the afternoon, we got to continually praise our King. We thank God for each of you today. We thank God for what he's doing in us. Oh, yeah, he's doing mighty things. He's doing great things. He loves us so much. Well, we have Minister Lanny McBride on with us from Jackson, Mississippi. She's a mighty woman of God. Thank God for her. Good afternoon, Minister Lanny. How are you?
I'm fine, Sister G. How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
Amen. Continue in the spirit of praise. All I want to do is bless your name. Bless your name all day for all you've done. All I want to give you praise. Give you praise all day and bless your holy name. All I want to do is bless your name. Bless your name all day for all you've done. All I want to do is give you praise, give you praise all day and bless your holy name for the blessings you pour upon my soul for honor and praise. You bestow the people of and joy. You've given me the mercy and grace. Every day I see all I want to do is bless your name. Oh, bless your name all day for all you've done. All I want to do is give you praise. Oh, give you praise all day and bless your holy name. Jesus, Lord, I bless your name. Father, Father, everything I need, Doctor Jesus, whatever I need, it's in your name. All I want to do is bless your name. Amen.
Amen. That's my testimony. All I want to do is bless his name. Oh, my God. Bless his name. Amen. You got to praise him, praise him. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him all day long. And we got to bless his name. His name is great in the heavens. The angels right now bowing down, praising him. Right now we are bowing down, honoring him, giving him glory, giving him praise. We're blessing his name. His name is holy. His name is righteous. His name is King of kings and Lord of lords. Jehovah Elyon, the Most High God. We bless his name. Well, it's prayer time. I'm going to ask Sister Annette from Jacksonville, Florida. She will pray for senior citizens and their families all over the world.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we worship and adore you today. We reverence you, Lord God. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that you are Lord over our lives, and we just proclaim Jesus is Lord. We honor you today, God, and we bless your holy name together, Lord God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together, Father. We magnify you, oh God, today, and we honor you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be your servant, Lord God. We didn't choose you, but you chose us. And for this, we tell you, thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, great and mighty God. We honor you today, and we bless your holy name together. We thank you for this opportunity together for the seniors, Lord God. Father, thank you for keeping us, Lord God. Oh, God, you are a keeper, and you kept us, and you sustained us, Lord God, and we just pray your blessings upon every senior citizen throughout the world, Lord God. Thank you for keeping us for such a time as this, and, Lord God, we pray that your word would have free course in our lives. We pray that we would be the salt, oh God, of the world, the beacon of light, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father. We just pray that you anoint us afresh. Father, let your word be like fire. Shut up in our bones, God. Father, don't let the word leave us alone. In the name of Jesus, we pray, oh God, that you give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as never before. And God, we just thank you, Father, that we will be walking epistles, oh God, among men, Lord God. Father, let your light so shine, oh God, that you would be glorified, Father, because of our lives. And we pray that we decrease and that you increase. Father, meet every need, God, be it physical, emotional, spiritually. Lord, bless your people in the name of Jesus. And God, even the seniors that don't know you as Lord and Savior, we do cry out on their behalf, asking you to save, sanctify, and consecrate them for your kingdom. And Lord, we just thank you for Sister G, Lord God, and Father, all of the wonderful things that you're doing in her life. Thank you for the great ministry that she has, and we pray that you continue to richly bless her and everyone that's on the line with the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. Blessed coming in, going out, rising up, lying down in the field, in the city. Everything that we do, Lord God, let it be prosperous. Let us prosper and be successful. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. And we cover this prayer with the blood of Jesus, Father. We thank you that you are safety and protection. In Jesus' name we pray and give you thanks. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Annette. Praying for the seniors and families all over the world. Amen, amen. What a powerful prayer. We thank God for, you know, he allowed us to talk to him. You know what? We can't even go talk to the president of the United States or an ambassador in another country. We got to make an appointment with them. But we're so fortunate we don't have to make an appointment with the King of Kings. He's the Lord, God Almighty. And he said, call on him morning, noon, and night. He didn't even give us any restrictions. We can call on him whenever we want. Aren't we fortunate? Yes, we are. I thank God for you. Got your Bibles ready? Ready? Let's roll. We're doing scripture first. You know how we do it. I give the scripture, you state your name, and then you read the verse. We are ready. Scripture search, verse number 1. James 1 and 8. James 1 and 8. First one finds it, or the first two, three, whoever finds it. I don't care if it's everybody on here. Read it at the same time. Read it. State your name, though. Read it. James 1, verse 8. Wonder if James was in the New Testament or the Old Testament. Last time I checked, he was in the New Testament, but I don't think he did. Let's see where you're going to find it. James 1 and 8.
Sister Vivian, a double man is in trouble in all his ways.
Okay.
Thank you, Vivian. Amen. Next scripture, Hebrews 11 and 1. I don't care if 15 people find it. You can all read it together as long as you give your name. Hebrews 11 and 1. Just because somebody else find it, that don't mean you can't read it too. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Last time I checked, that was in the New Testament, too. Hebrews 11 and 1.
Esther, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Glory, you were supposed to be reading with her. Read it, Glory Dean. Thank you, Esther.
Faith is the substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen.
All right. You can all read it together. I can hear your voice. I know. All right. Next scripture. Good job, y'all. Luke chapter 12, verse 25. I wonder if Luke is in the Old Testament. Maybe he went to visit in the Old Testament. You think? Luke.
No.
12:5.
And it reads, Esther, and it reads, and when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished.
I wrote down something different. Anybody else got anything different? Luke 12:25.
You said Luke
12:25.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had 11.
I may have said 11 by mistake. I'm sorry. But anyway, it's Luke 12:25. You can still read it.
Brother Brian, Luke 12:25 reads, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit?
Taking thought can add to his stature one cubit.
Thank you, Brother Brian. Thank you, Esther. Good job. I like it when y'all searching together like that. Good job. All right. Next scripture, John 12:23. Come on, y'all. Don't just wait for other people to read it. You got to search the scripture, too. The scripture going to tell you if you are saved or not. Don't you want to know if you're saved or not? So when Jesus comes, he won't say, oh, wait a minute. Who are you? I don't know you. You got to find it, too.
Mary.
John 12:23.
Mary. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.
All right. Good job, Mary.
Oh, did you say
last one? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Then I thought somebody... Was it 25 or 23?
23. You read it right. I was
telling
you. Oh, okay. Right. Next scripture, Psalms 10, verse 11. Psalms 10, verse 11.
Brother Brian,
sorry. I apologize. I read it. Brother Brian, I messed up. Psalms 9, verse 10. I apologize. Second time.
Again.
Psalms 9, verse 10.
Okay,
so can I make it? All right, go ahead, brother.
Yes, well, Psalms 9, verse 10 reads, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee."
Amen.
All right. Anyone else saying something? I missed it.
Okay. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee.
Amen. All right. We're moving to another section. We're on now on Bible facts. Bible facts. So you got to find out where this is found.
Come on, baby, yeah. Come on, baby, come on.
Which is son? All right. Which book of the law says, "Behold now, the city is near complete unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. It is not a little one, and my soul shall live." Which book of the law says, "And behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live?" Where is that found? Behold now, the city is near to flee. All right, go ahead. I saw somebody say their name. Behold now.
Read it again, Sister G.
Behold, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live.
Brother Brian, that is Genesis 19, chapter 19, verse 20, and it reads, "Behold now, the city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. It is not a little one, and my soul shall live."
Amen. Excellent, Brother Brian. All right, got Bible scholars on here, y'all. Next scripture. I'm sorry, is someone saying something that I didn't understand? All righty, here we go. It's on again. Next scripture. This is from the books of poetry. I'm giving you clues. "Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations." Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. That's one of the books of poetry in the books of poetry. Which one is it?
Genesis, I might have, Gloria Dean, I might have the wrong one. Genesis 13, 15, "For all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever." Is that the right one?
No.
This is books of poetry. Somebody got it?
And they got 16.
What about, this is Sister Lena, what about Psalms 89 and 4? "By seed will I set forever and build up thy throne to all generations." Say lie.
Amen.
Wow. Good job. That's it. This one is from the books of history, Old Testament history. "This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and obey everything written in it, then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success." Where is that?
Joshua 1 and 8.
Read it. You can't just say what it is. You got to read it. You know, some of y'all are Bible scholars, and you know these scriptures by heart, but I want you to read it.
Joshua 1 and 8. I think that's what the one, I believe. Can you say it again? Can you please quote the scripture again,
please?
Can you
read it? You are correct. Well, can you read it?
Joshua 1 and 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gloria.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
All right. This one is from the books of the epistles. The epistles are in the New Testament. This one says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Don't give it away. You find it and read it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Vivian, Sister Vivian, you sleeping? You taking a nap on us? We can't hear you.
No, ma'am, I'm not sleeping. Oh, I just know I'm all about me. I just know I'm. So I was just letting somebody else do something. Praise God. I be at all of them before they get there. I know it. Yeah, that's Hebrews 11:1. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm awake.
Amen.
All right. Glory to you.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
Yes. All right, good job. Last one in this section. Which book of the epistle says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You know, we learned that as a child.
Yeah, sure did.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice. Where's that one? Read it. Hello. Everybody, read it. Come on, y'all. Rejoice in the Lord always.
It's the lady. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Well, going on. But that's
Philippians
4 and 4. Philippians 4 and 4. Philippians 4 and 4 is right.
Philippians 4.
2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's homework time. Who's ready? Who's ready? State your name.
Well, nobody wants to go. I'll go. If nobody wants to go, I'll go. Okay.
Oh, wait a minute, y'all. Wait, Sister Vivian. Wait.
Okay.
Y'all know what?
I'll wait.
This is a special lady, Sister Vivian. She had a birthday yesterday. No, Monday. Let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to
happy
you.
Birthday.
Come on, Happy birthday to you.
I tried to remember
you. Thank you all. Bless you all. Bless you.
All right.
Try to remember.
What's your first question?
All right. Genesis 37:2. What did Joseph bring to his father?
Oh, I've got the wrong thing.
37:2.
Verse 2.
What did Joseph bring to his father? What kind of news did he bring to his father?
Mary. Evil reports.
Amen.
You got it.
All right. 37:4. Why did Joseph's brothers hate him?
37:4.
Yeah. Mary. His brothers hated him because they saw that their father loved him more than all of the brothers. There's jealousy.
Genesis 37:8. Why did Joseph reject him and hate him?
Why did Joseph? Well, you said 37:8, 6.
Yes.
Mary. Go ahead. I don't hear you.
She got knocked off, or she'll be dead. She got phone dropped.
Oh, okay.
What's the question again, please?
Why did Joseph reject and hate him?
He hated them yet the more for his dreams and for his words.
Yeah. That's, okay. What was 37:10, what was the, what did he say to Joseph about the second dream? What did he say to him about the second dream?
Sister Laney, in the 10th verse, his father said to him, his father rebuked him because he said, this dream mean that your mother and I and your brother will bow down to you? He was offended by it.
Yeah. 37:13. Was Joseph willing to go do what his father told him to do?
Was
37 and what?
13.
Well, was he willing, Gloria Dean? He was willing to go. Joseph was willing to go. And his father said, I would send thee to them. And he said to him, here I am, here am I.
Amen. That's what I wanted to say. Yes, he was willing to go. And he said, here am I. And he went. Praise God. That's it.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Vivian. Who's next?
Vivian is finished. Okay. Gloria Dean.
I think I did 5. Didn't I do 5?
I don't
know. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
I always Gloria like more if somebody have something, so I did my 5.
No, it's okay. Gloria Dean is on first now. Go ahead, Gloria Dean.
In verse 1, who dwelled in the land where his father was a stranger?
Sister Vivian, Jacob dwelt in the land where his fathers were the strangers, in the land of Canaan.
Verse 3. Who was made a coat of many colors? Verse 37 and 3.
Verse 37 and 3, Sister Lane, is Joseph was made a coat of many colors.
Yes.
Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors.
Yes. Right, that's right. Number 5, 37 and 5. When Joseph told his brothers of the dream, he had who hated him more?
Sister Vivian, Mary, the brothers.
That's right, the brothers hated him more. And number 11, I think, somebody did 11 already. Eleven. His brothers envied Joseph concerning the dream he had. But who observed the saying?
Sister Vivian, his father observed the saying.
Yes, that's right, the father. It's my last question, 27. Who did the brothers sell Joseph to? And for how much did he sell them for? How much did he get? And where did they bring Joseph? How much did they receive from selling Joseph? And where did they bring? And where did they bring Joseph? Who did the brothers sell Joseph to?
Okay.
20 pieces of silver. And where did they bring Joseph?
That's 27 and 28.
Okay.
27, verse 27. 37, 27. Who did the brothers sell Joseph to for 20 pieces of silver? And where did they bring Joseph?
He was sold to the Israelites.
To the Israelites for 20.
Yeah.
Peace and silver.
That was in 28.
Okay.
And where did they bring him? He sold him to the Israelites. And where did they bring him?
Oh, okay. They brought him to Egypt.
And he brought him to Egypt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
All right. Who's next?
Okay.
Very good, Vivian and Gloria Jean. Good job. Who's next?
Sister Laney, I'll go.
Okay.
All right. Verse number 14, why did Joseph's father send him to the valley of Hebron? Verse 14. Why did Joseph's father send him to the valley of Hebron?
Sister Vivian, you sent him there to pray to see whether it was well with your brethren.
All right, to see if all was well with the brethren in the flock. They were supposed to be doing the work, and he was sent to check on them. Okay. All right. What brother said to the other brothers to not kill him, save his life. He really had in mind to rescue him and take him home later. This is verse 21, 22. What's the brother's name?
Reuben.
Reuben was the brother that tried to convince, he did convince them not to kill him, and that he was, in his mind, he was going to come back and get him. Verse 24. What was missing in the pit that they put Joseph in? What was missing? Verse 24.
Mary.
Water was missing. Water.
Right. He had no water there. Okay. I think I skipped over verse 18. When Joseph was on his way to Dothan, where his brothers had migrated to, when the brothers saw him in the distance, What did they come up with when they saw him coming? What was in their mind? Verse 18. When the bridegroom was coming in the distance.
So they conspired against him.
Yeah, Gloria, conspired to kill him.
They plotted to kill him. That was the first plan to kill him. Or it's moving that influence in that. Okay. All right. Fill in the blanks, verse 26. What will we blank if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Verse 26. What will we blank? Yes.
Gloria D. Gloria D. And whoever else. Judah. And you see, well, prophet.
Another word starts with a G. Verse 26. It's a verb to start with a G. What will we blank if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Verse 26.
And what's the question?
It's a fill in the blank. It's one word I'm looking for. What will we blank if we kill our brother and cover up his blood?
Mr. Vivian, what will we profit?
What will we profit or what will we gain? Right, that's correct. If we do this to our brother. All right.
What profit will we gain?
Right.
What profit?
The word is, the concept profit is that we're not going to gain anything by killing him. So they were thinking about, what can I get out of this for myself after this terrible act to their brother? Verse 31, what did the brothers do with Joseph's robe?
Gloria Dean took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood.
And I think this is the last one. What did Joseph's father say to his children when they tried to comfort him? Verse 35. When Jacob's children tried to comfort him about Joseph, what did he say to them? Verse 35.
Mary. For I will go down into the grave and to my son mourning. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave and to my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him.
That is correct. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you, Sister Lynn. Anyone else do homework? Okay. Thank you all, Sister Vivian, Gloria Dean, and Sister Lynn. We appreciate you. So we're going to Gloria Dean, if you'll give a very short summary, then we'll move on from there to the left.
Okay. You ready for me to give the summary? Praise God. Now this is story. This is about Jacob, and most about Joseph and Jacob, and their brothers. And in the beginning, Job lived in a land where his father was a stranger. It was Canaan. And the generations here was Jacob, and so Joseph, and Joseph, 17 years old, he was feeding the flock for his father, praise God, with his brethren. Now, Israel loved Joseph. God, you know, Israel, he loved Joseph because he came at his old age, praise God. And his brothers really hated him. Now, it says here the brothers were... He's 17 years old. He's feeding the flock with his brethren, and he was they were the sons of Beli and the sons of Zippor, and that's from his father's wife. So he's with these brothers, and because you know he had Job's mother was Rachel, right? Am I right? Rachel. Okay, so that the father loved him because he's at his old age when he got him, and he made a coat of many colors, and his brothers hated him that, just hated him so much. And then what hit him another time, Joseph said, wait a minute, I have a dream. I want to get 17 years old. He said, I'm going to tell you about my dream. He said, I dreamed that I had my sheep and mine, and you all had yours, but my sheep rose up above all your sheep, and it was like you all were bowing down to my sheep. And they hated that. They hated that dream. And Joseph said, your sheep stood around me about and made obeisance to my sheep. And the brethren said, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall we indeed, are you going to have dominion over us? And they hated him more. I tell you, Joseph didn't like him anyway, and there was something else, you know. And then Joseph said, well, hey, I got another dream. Listen to this one. He said, the moon and the sun and the 11 stars are going to be made to obey me. Praise God. And that when he said that, the sun and stars, that's his mother and his father and all the brothers. There's 11 brothers of them because he made 12, but there was 11. And they really rebuked him. He said, well, you mean to tell me we're going to be under you? They went to the house when they got home. They told him about the dream. And Joseph told him about the dream to himself, about the dream that he had. And his brothers, Jacob, the thing with Jacob, when he heard it, he said, wow, that's a big thing for the mother and father and all the brothers to fall down and worship him. See that? But what Israel did, he kept that in his mind. He kept that. He pounded that in his heart. He really did. But he didn't say anything to them, but they're very angry. So now I'm trying to make everything short so I can remember. Now, Jacob called his son, and he said, they call him Israel, you know. He called his son. He wanted him to go to go where his brothers are in Shechem. See, his brothers were feeding the flock, and Shechem, feeding his flock in Shechem. Israel wanted Joseph go there and be where they are so he can tell what report may go on. So he went on, and he went to the way of Baal of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And he met this man because he couldn't find his brothers. And behold, it was a wanderer that was in a field, and the man asked him, saying, who are you looking for? He said, well, I'm looking for my brethren where they feed their flocks. And the man told him, look, I heard them say they're going to Dothan, and Joseph went after his brother, and he found them. And the minute they saw him, they conspired to kill him. And they said one to another, behold that dreamer. Come now, and let us slay him, and we cast him and pass him in some pit. And we'll say some beast devoured him. And we're going to see, and he's going to be coming up dreamers, that dreamer. But who spoke up? Reuben's the oldest son. Reuben said, heard. And he delivered him out of them. He delivered it. He said, let us not kill him. You see, Reuben had in mind that one day they would help him. So what happened? And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no blood upon him, that he might rid of their hands to deliver him to his father again. See, Reuben didn't want to really kill him. He didn't want to shed no blood. His others, they didn't care. Judith, he didn't care. Just do what you have to do. But Reuben had his mind, we put him in the pit. One day, he'll get him out there. So they came to pass, and when they got closer to Joseph, they stripped his little coat from him, a little coat of all colors, and they took and put him in a pit. The pit didn't have no water in it. And they sat down to eat. And as they sat down to eat, a group of Israelites came from Gilead with their camels going on their way to Egypt to bring all their spices, balm and myrrh. Judah, the other brother, said to his brethren, what profit if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? You hear what he say? He said, why should I do this? And he said, come, let us sell him to the Israelites, and let them not our hand be upon on him. For he is our brother in our flesh. He wasn't going to do that. Judah tried to sort of change it a little bit. He said, let us sell him to the Israelites, and let us not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brother, they content. They said, okay. And when Reuben returned, Reuben saw he wasn't in a pit. He had gone to see about the other sheep, probably. And when he saw that Joseph was not in the pit, oh, he just ripped and tore his clothes. He went into sackcloth almost when he heard that. But then he found out that they had sold him to the Israelites, praise God. When he returned to his brother. Well, okay, now they're returning home now. They're returning home to their father. And they've told their father about everything about their little brother. First they killed the kid. They're still making believe that the brother was killed, still making believe that Joseph was killed. Because they hated him so much, they didn't want him to come back home. They did not want him to come back home, praise God. So what happened? And they coat them many colors. They killed the kid, a little goat, and put the blood on her. And what they did when he got home, the little dog, you know, put the door. I can read all of it. I don't read it all. And then they got to Jacob when they told Jacob about it, Jacob rent his clothes and his loins, and he mourned for his son many days. And all the sons and all his daughters rose up to come at him. But he refused to be comforted.
Blur Jean?
Yeah.
If you could just kind of summarize it a little bit and wrap it up. We need to move on.
I'm going to wrap it up. I'm wrapping it up right now. Right now.
Okay, good. Thank you.
And then nobody could do anything with Egypt. Jacob, because he could not stop mourning for his son. So he wept. For him, he mourned and he wept for his son. Praise God. So that's it. I'm out. I was trying to bring
all right.
It all together. One piece. I'm finished.
Okay. Thank you. Yep, we appreciate it because you know everybody should be reading it every day during the week. That's our homework. So the homework, you know, daily is to read. Read the chapter every day. That way you could, you know, get a grip of what the chapter's about, then write your five questions. So next week we're going to be on Genesis 38. Genesis chapter 38. That's our homework for next week. So, you know, usually I send you where you can listen to it, but also read it. You can send it to you in one version. You can read it in more than one version if you like. And then don't forget to write your five questions. And we also need to pray for, you know, our government, pray for our leaders of our nation, leaders of our churches. We need to pray for our babies, baby Chloe, baby Zoe, baby Kaiser. And we have one more baby. Sometimes I forget his name, but... if you all could just pray for all the babies, those babies and all the babies of the world, we appreciate it. All right. Thank you so much, Blur Jean. Thank you, everybody. Y'all did an awesome, awesome job. So I've muted just to run everybody's line. Got one more to mute. So you know what? We're going to be listening to the message. Our message today is entitled, How to Deal with Family Enemies. How to Deal with Family Enemies. It's an inside job. See, when Joseph's enemies live inside his house, they live with him every day. It's a setup from God. See, God had his life already planned out. You know, when you have these dreams, you don't know what they mean. But God had his life already planned out. Now, he didn't know from the dream that he was going to have to go through trial after trial after trial after trial. I mean, he went through something. First in his own household, then when he left there. When it's an outsider that despise or hate you, or they're jealous of you, you can come home and close your door. But when the hatred, the meanness, the jealousy is inside your own house, that's a different story. How do you deal with it? How do you deal with it when you got to be in it every day at your house? In Genesis 37, Joseph faced hatred, jealousy, envy, danger from his brothers, the strife, every day. He lived with them every day. When you are your mother's or your father's favorite child and you're hated because of it, how do you handle it? What can you do about it? I mean, you could go tell your parents. They could talk to your sisters and brothers. They could tell them. Now, y'all know better, but how do you as a person handle it? All right, so where does negativity come from? Where does negativity come from? Negativity inside us, negativity from the outside. How do we deal with it? It's an inside job. It's a setup. Yes, yeah, a setup from the enemy. Remember, the enemy was going to and fro, and the Lord said, where you going, Satan? He said, I'm going to and fro from the earth. He said, wait a minute now. Let me ask you this. He said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, you know, he's a righteous man. He's a holy man. He said, yeah, but you got a hedge around him. So you know God has a hedge around you. He had one around Joseph. But just because he has a hedge around you, don't mean you don't have to go through trials. It's an inside job. Now, Joseph, according to Genesis 37, he was only 17 when this stuff started in his life, 17 years old. And his dreams were very significant. What happened later in his life, you know, it was just so significant. Have you had a dream that ever came true in your life? Have you ever had a dream that has come true in your life? Or a dream about somebody else that has come true? Dreams are very important. I don't know about you, but I keep a dream journal, a dream folder, and I write my dreams down. I write the date down. I don't always know what they mean. Sometimes I say, well, Lord, what you trying to tell me? I don't understand it. But dreams are important. So what you dream means something. It has a meaning. Write the date down. Keep your dream journal. The devil also gives us dreams, but usually his dreams are evil dreams. We have to ask God, is the dream from him? Why do you think Joseph's brothers got angry when he told them about his dream? Why do you think made them dream? Was it the nature of the dream? Could it have been what he said about the dream? Remember, he had two significant dreams in his life. And guess what? Later on, those dreams happened. The dreams actually came true. Has any of your dreams ever come true? Have they happened? Are you a dreamer? Do you have the gift of interpreting dreams, your dreams or someone else's dreams? Because Joseph was a son born to his father when he was an old man, his father treated him special. And that brought Joseph, it brought him a lot of trouble. It brought him so much trouble that Joseph, you know, he just didn't know how to handle all of that. So this Genesis 37 can be broken up into about 9 parts. First part, Joseph's dream. Number two, Joseph's sheep in the dream. Number three, the sun, the moon, and the stars in the dream. Number four, Joseph's search for his brothers. Number five, the brothers' conspiracy. They conspired against him. But Reuben said they were going to kill him. But Reuben said, no, no, no. So number six, Joseph sold to the Ishmaelites. Number seven, Joseph is deceived. Number eight, Joseph is deceived again. Number 9, Joseph sold to Potiphar. Now, you know God has a plan. So, you know, Joseph's father gave him this coat of many colors. And most of us heard it in Sunday school on Sundays when we were children growing up. Or maybe your parents told you the story about, you know, Joseph, the boy who had a coat of many colors. Now, his father, you got to remember, see, his father loved him so much, and he didn't try to hide it. He loved him more. But that made his brother jealous. Now, his father could have made a coat for all of his sons, all 12 of them. But he chose Joseph. Now, his father probably didn't think that this was going to matter. He just wanted Joseph to know how much he loved him. He was the son of his old age. But he also loved the other brothers, too. But maybe the depth of his love was more for Joseph. But we have to be careful. We can't even love our grandchildren one more than the other and show it. You may love them, but, you know, even in school, my children used to tell me when I talked to Miss Gannon, am I your favorite? I said, yep. They asked me, am I your favorite? I said it to every one of them. All y'all my favorites. Because, you know, you're going to bring jealousy. Because everybody want to be their parents' favorite. They don't want to know that you're the favorite and she ain't the favorite and he not the favorite. But strange things happen in this story when the father brought Joseph the coat. But the other 11 sons, he didn't give them no coat. Now, this is special treatment means other things. You know, it caused Joseph's brothers to be jealous, causing them to feel, you know, envy, and they hated him. This was just, you know, a deep hatred. So have you ever felt jealous, envious, or hated your own brother or your own sister? I'm talking about the one that came through your mama or your daddy. Maybe because your father or your mother did special things for them and not for you. I'm telling you, it happens in families. Or perhaps they had gifts you desired. Maybe your brother had a gift you desire, your sister. Maybe they could cook better than you. Or they could design clothes better than you. Or they could sing songs better than you. Maybe they got recognition at church and you didn't get recognition. Maybe they got awards at school and you wish you had gotten the award. Maybe they had a lighter skin or a darker skin than you and you wish you were like that. Maybe they were taller than you or shorter than you. And you wish you were their height. Whatever the situation is, you know, sometimes those things can bring jealousy. Now, did you treat them mean because, you know, you didn't like them because they had more gifts, better gifts, you thought. But God knows what gifts to give you. He knows what gifts to give them. Did you ever feel like killing them, you know, in your heart? Did you feel like killing them? Well, like, I could kill them today. Did your thoughts, you know, these thoughts, negative thoughts come up, anger come up? Have you had to take care of your little brother, your little sister, and you dislike them? But you're like, Mama, I'm tired. I'm tired of keeping them. Let you keep them. I'm tired of keeping her. I'm tired of keeping him. That's not my child. Maybe you were the oldest and had to take care of the youngest, and you got tired of it. And you know, maybe they did mean things to you, ugly things. They told their parents. They lied on you. And, you know, you were disgusted with it. You said, Mama, Daddy, they lying on me. Maybe your parents didn't believe you. Maybe they did believe you. Whatever the case is, it wasn't right. God is so good. All the negative things that happen to us, he turns them around for our good. Trials we go through in this life happen so that we can grow stronger and able to face other adverse situations in life. You may have been sold into slavery like Joseph. I'm not talking about real slavery. You know, they do have slavery now. You know, they do have slavery. People are sold into slavery. Children are kidnapped today. Those women are kidnapped and sold into slavery. They're sold for money. They have sex trafficking. They're kidnapped and sold for their dead bodies. So Joseph, he was, you know, a character in the Bible, and maybe you know, you read about Joseph before when you were a child. Now, you could have been set up by your brother or your sister, and it, you know, they made you look bad before your parents or someone other, or it could have been the other way around. Maybe you were the one who was, you know, treating them bad. James 1:2 says, be very happy when you are tested in different ways. The testing of your faith produces endurance. Endure until the test is over. Then you will be mature and complete, and you won't need anything. That was the God's word for every day. Now, King James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Does Joseph's life remind you of your life or someone else's life you know? Have you ever gone through trials, seemingly unbearable things, and you say to the Lord, why me, Lord? Why I have to go through this? Look at them. They got a Rolls Royce, and I'm driving a hoopty. You know, why me, Lord? Why don't I have more money? Why me? You know, you may be asking the Lord the question, well, Lord, why me, Father? Why I had to go through this? Why I had to live like this? Why I had to live in the slums or in the project? Lord, why couldn't I live in a mansion or somewhere near the White House? Why couldn't I live in you know, and have a fine mansion and a fine car? So Jesus said, Lord, if this cup could pass from me, you may say the same thing. Lord, I should have been born rich. I should have been born to President Obama and his wife. I should have been, you know, a different life. Lord, why you gave me this life? You know, so Joseph could have said the same thing. Lord, why you give me this life? You know the story about Joseph. Now, you know, we didn't do the whole story yet. It's more in the next chapter. In the next chapter, Joseph's life continues. But guess what? Joseph, he could have been killed by his brother. They lied to the father and said, you know, Joseph, we found his coat. But they were doing it. They were the ones who took his coat off and put him in a pit, and they wanted to kill him if it hadn't been for Reuben. But Reuben said, no, let's don't kill him. Let's sell him. Let's just do something else with him. Don't kill him. We don't want murder on our hands. And, you know, we don't want murder on our hands. So sometimes you know, this could go into the church house too, you know. You could see Sister So-and-so, and you go like, yeah, she got on that pretty red hat. I'm looking the other way. I ain't going to look at her. Or you could see Brother So-and-so. Oh, my God. Look at him. He got on a sharp suit today. No, I ain't going to speak to him. Mm-mm. I'm going to pretend I don't see him. Or I'm going to ask, you know, I'm going to act ugly when I do see him. That's not how God wants us to be. See, God has a plan. He said the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. So, you know, they put blood all over Joseph's coat. They didn't think about how their dad was going to feel. Do you ever think about how the other person's going to feel? They couldn't even comfort him. I'm sure they thought, now, daddy's going to love me more now. Joseph's gone. He's going to love us more. It don't work that way. He grieved and he grieved and he grieved. So, you know, family enemies, the inside job is what we're talking about. We can be hated, deceived, and lied on by our family members, or we can do the same thing to our family members. Maybe your life has had so many trials that you cried out, Lord, help me, but it didn't seem like he could hear you. Maybe you thought, oh, Lord, why you don't hear me, Lord? Why can't you hear me? And, you know, there's a song by, remember the pastor James Cleveland? He said, I don't feel no ways tired. Nobody told me the road would be easy. But I know God didn't bring me this far to lead me. God hears your cry now. Even when you don't say a word, when you can't utter a word, when you're crying tears and seems like you're going to cry blood, God hears you. Can you imagine Joseph in a pit, took his clothes off, and you left him there. Then they sold him to some other people. Trust me, they're still doing that today. People are selling their children. People are stealing other people's children. They're selling them. You hear about missing children? Some of these children are gone because they're selling them. God hears your cry. Psalms 34:17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all, not some, all their trouble. It appears that good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people, but that's not true. God has a plan. Joseph was a good person, but something bad seemingly happened to him, bad things, things he had no control over. Things happen to us, we have no control over them. We say, why me, Lord, why me? Romans 8:28, and you know that all, now this is comforting for me, and you know that all things work together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Not some, all things work for good. See, everything worked out for Joseph good. You'll be reading it. See, now this week, you know, we read about him being in the pit, but just keep reading. Next week, read, you know, Genesis 38. You're going to find out more and keep reading. So all things God working for our good. What the devil meant for our harm, he's going to turn it around. Philippians 4:6-7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your request to God. We don't have to take vengeance on nobody. Because they treat us mean or evil, God will do it. Don't worry. Don't worry. And the God of peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God's grace is sufficient, according to 2 Corinthians 12:9. He says, my power is made perfect in weakness. So you don't have to worry. We don't want to be the one that's treating other people mean and cruel. No, we don't. Let them, you know, if they want to treat you mean and cruel, God see them. You worry. Don't you worry about the thing. God say, I take vengeance on those. He take vengeance on me, even on you. He going to take vengeance on them. Don't you be guilty. You'll just treat people with loving kindness. It says you heat coals of fire on a person. When you treat your enemies with loving kindness, don't you worry about a thing. Now, God is going to take care of every enemy you have. Don't worry about it. You know what the Bible says? Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully mistreat you, who misuse you, who say all manner of evil. Don't you worry about a thing. Just don't you be guilty of treating nobody mean or cruel.
Amen.
You know, some people do it on the fly. No, you don't have to worry about it. Turn it to the Lord. I remember one time I was at this church and this person just kept coming against me, kept on coming against me. Everything I did, they try to block me. Just come. You can't talk to people sometimes. I said, well, did I do anything wrong to you? Did I hurt your feelings? Oh, no, Sister G, you didn't do nothing. You know what I did? I came home and I said, Lord, you see how they treat me? Lord, I refuse to retaliate. But, Lord, you are the one who takes care of me. So I said, Lord, you take care of this situation. And I said, now, Lord, I lift this person up before you, and I ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to continually bless them, continually protect them, provide for them, and they've been, I pray for them. And that's what we got to do. That's what you got to do. You don't have to handle nothing. No. We got a Father in heaven. He's going to handle everything. Here we go. Comments. Short testimony. Short comments. Short testimony. So we can, you know, we're going to be going soon. But anybody got anything they want to say? All lines are unmuted.
Yes, Sister G, I have faced that in the church as well. With white and black. So, yeah, jealousy, the Bible speaks of jealousy, and the Bible also speaks of wounded in the house of my friends. The ones that you think that's your friend and they are jealous of you, they will do things in the church to try to hurt you. I almost went to jail one time because of a white girl, and then they didn't bother me. They just let me go. And then recently I stepped down out of the praise service because the woman was jealous. So there's jealousy if you don't watch it. So my mother always told me, I always watch myself. My mother, when I was a little girl, I said, oh, Mom, I wish I had long, curly hair like those girls. When I see a girl with long hair, she said, never wish for what nobody else have. Just be thankful of what you have. So I leave it at that.
Amen. Anybody else?
Okay. This is Sister. Well, this is Sister. Yeah, this is Sister Annette. I just really enjoyed that, and you know, the truth be told, that even if it's not our siblings, sometimes it's our cousins or nieces or, you know, nephews or whatever who are jealous or don't understand. And so, you know, just like with Joseph and his brothers, they didn't understand how God had created him and who he was. And so in their misunderstanding, they didn't know how to deal with it. And as we were saying yesterday, coping with life. And in their coping, it was using jealousy, you know, a negative emotion, so to speak. And so I enjoyed that so much. And I know that there have been times when the enemy tried to put jealousy on me, but thank God, you know, I recognized it and said, oh, no, devil, I'm not going there, and I rebuked it in the name of Jesus. So so I really, really enjoyed that, and also enjoyed what Sister said about what her mother said, you know, just be thankful, not just, but be thankful for what you have, because we all have something that we wish, so to speak, we might have, this person might have. But as we recognize that God created us to be who we are and we recognize our own uniqueness, then we can bless each other and love each other and be free to be ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Anybody else?
Sister G, this is Sister Lanny.
Right.
I appreciate so much your delivery just now. It was a wonderful word, and it took me back to a time in my life when being a PK, a pastor's kid, it was seven of us, and, you know, the pastor and his family always live in a glass house, and the requirements for you are always higher. But that was such a peace that wasn't our home for my parents, that we had an emotional support that was helpful. But being that I was wound up in music at the age of 15, make a long story short, you know the story of Lucifer in hell, right? He was the music department. He was all things to music. So most of my experiences in the church have been with music ministry, not necessarily with people in the church so much as dealing with leadership. My father recognized early on that God had done something unique with all of us. He prayed for that we will have our own different anointings. And, of course, mine was a love for music and a passion, and God fueled that. And since my father went to heaven, and I've had two pastors since then, my biggest struggle has been to operate, I call it, and I learned to operate in a spirit of uncomfortableness. because sometimes there is competition with not just the people in the pews, but for the pulpit with giftings when you are close to that hierarchy of authority, so to speak. So I have to learn how to operate and learn how to, my God, I can't use the word. Well, in all ministry, we learn to decrease and make sure we decrease so God can increase, let him be shown. But I've also been pushed back, not only in my church, but from other churches, when pastors are a little bit intimidated by when God shows up. I don't know if anybody hear what I'm saying, but
I heard you. Yeah, done that.
Sometimes, as Harvey Watkins said out of Kent, Mississippi, with the Kent Spirituals, sometimes they wouldn't let me sing because I went to a service one time and a pastor sung five songs after the sermon to keep from asking me to come up to sing as a guest. I was there visiting a pastor. A pastor, a preacher from another state, asked me to come and sing for him. But when I got there, the pastor himself sung five solos after that preacher finished to keep from asking me to sing. He just went from one song to the other.
God's going to turn it around. God's going to turn it around, those things around for our good. And sometimes we think that it's the devil or the people, and sometimes God ordered it. He said, okay, let me do this here. Sometimes God orders and we don't even know it. Why? We don't understand it. But it happens like that. You know, we all in situations, you go like, well, why me, Lord? Why that happened to me? Why they do that to me? It's not sometimes not always what we think it is. We link our own understanding. It looked like this and it looked like that, but sometimes that's not what it is. I mean, I understand what you talk about, sister. So, I mean, I've been in many churches. You just been three or four.
Right,
right. I've been in many. You go like, well, Lord. But then you have to ask. Like Job, he said, listen, Father, even Jesus said, if this cup could pass, but let me tell you, a lot of times God orders it, and he allows it. So Job said, Father, if you allow this, I embrace it. He said, can't we receive evil as well as good at the hands of God? So I'm learning. I'm like, Lord, okay, you allowed it, so you allowed it for a reason. You had him shut my mouth for a reason. You allowed it, so I embrace it. So I heard what you said.
I call it the ministry of uncomfortableness. You have to learn to just say, okay, God, like the fucking spirit.
So true.
Oh, God.
So true.
Yes, ma'am, I understand. Sometimes it looks like the other people doing it to us, but God allows it for a reason. Because I just said, well, Lord,
yeah.
Why do you treat me like
this? I appreciate that.
I receive evil as well as good, and win of the Lord.
Hello?
It looked like the devil doing it. Yes?
This is me?
Yes?
Hello? Yeah, this is Esther. I'm so grateful that you texted me today and asked me to, you know, try to come back on, because the message was definitely for me. And I accept, I receive it, and I'm continue to pray.
God did it through, so you know it's for me too.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
No, you need to say something else, Esther?
No, I don't want to be too long-winded, but I'm really in that situation and have been for a while. And, you know, sometimes you tend to get discouraged and whatnot. But I continue to pray, but sometimes I do feel, you know, discouraged and stuff through this, what I'm going through. But anyway, I thank the Lord for it.
Amen.
Continue to pray for me. Continue to pray for me, because I'm going through a lot.
Amen. And
Sister G, may I just say something else? The Lord told me that no one can define me, that he defined me. And therefore, because he defined me, then I'm free to be myself or to be the person that I am. No one else can define you, even with Joseph. You know, he could not be defined. God defined him when he was in his mother's womb. So no one can define us. And even with the obstacles and the things that we go through, we have been defined by God. God said it. And because God said it, that's who we are. And no one can take that from us. So even in that ministry of uncomfortableness, we have comfort in that this is who we are because this is who God said I was. And no matter what people do or say or don't do, we still are who we are, and no one can take that away from us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, you know what? I was listening to Cindy Trim today, and Cindy Trim was talking about, you know, how she grew up. And that message was awesome. I'm going to send that message to you all today by Cindy Trim. It's going to bless you because same thing you said, Sister Nett, nobody can define you. No, God gave us what we need on the inside of us, but we got to rise up. He said, listen, I want you to be courageous and strong in the midst of these battles. I don't want you to be on your own. I want you to call on my name. Sometimes you go through situations, so God is telling you to get closer. Telling you, look here, bend the knee, come to me, get in the secret place, and I'm going to get you out that battle. He said, wow, this battle is long, Lord. Call on him. He's able to get you out of it. You can't do it. He's going to take care of it. All right. Well, it's prayer time. You got to pray and go. It's going on 3 o'clock, so. 3 o'clock.
Sister G, just one more thing. Just one more thing. I need to do a Columbo moment right here. One more thing. My daddy was a real comfort to me in ministry all my life, and even to this day, that thing he said to me that speaks that I want to share with you all. Daddy used to say, "You don't have to be what people call you, and you don't have to go to hell because they told you to go."
Yeah, no, that's
I'm
right.
Done.
Thank you so much. Amen.
That helped me.
Yeah, we all have these wisdom nuggets from the, you know, from our generation, from our fathers and mothers and grandparents. Wisdom.
You would have loved my father.
Ready to pray. And I'm going to tell you the same thing about my father. You would have loved him. My father was blind, but I didn't know it. I don't know what age I realized he was blind. I used to take my storybook, crawl in his lap, and say, "Daddy, read me a story." I don't know what age I realized that he couldn't read. But my daddy taught me how to tell time, and he couldn't even see. My daddy taught me reading. He couldn't even see. He taught me how to catch a bus, and he couldn't even see. Now, I can't tell you that my dad was a godly man up until a certain age, but he even tell me, he said, "Now, sugar, come on. We get on our knees every night." I don't remember my daddy going to church till I was about 60. He was about 60, and I was probably 20. But, you know, he loved his children. He taught me how to say, "Now lay me down to sleep." And he also would say, "Now you're getting older, we got to say Our Father prayer." So he led me a certain direction. He, you know, people used to say, "Where are you taking that blind man?" I said, "I'm not taking him. He's taking me." I would have loved my dad as well, you know. But before my dad left this earth, I tell you, I was 20. I used to say, "Dad, don't you want to study the Bible with me?" He said, "Yeah, sugar." So, you know, I thank God for my daddy. I thank God for, you know, how he trained us. When you listen to that message with Cindy Trim, it's going to bless you. some people on here today. I'm going to ask somebody to volunteer who don't normally say anything, who didn't say anything yet today, to pray for baby Chloe, baby Zoe, baby Kaiser, baby Revere, and all babies that need a healing. Who want to volunteer? Sister T, can you pray at this time? Or either Michelin is on, baby Chloe's mother. All lines unmuted. All right, somebody pray for the baby. Y'all gonna have me play? Oh, y'all come on. Okay, yeah.
Well, you said someone that don't usually pray.
But go ahead, you pray, baby. Go ahead. Thank you.
All right. You want me to pray for the babies, the baby Chloe, Zoe, and
Kaiser,
that,
and Revere is another one.
Revere?
Yep, and all
okay.
Babies that need a healing, Revere. Uh-huh.
Revere, Chloe, Zoe, it was another one.
Kaiser.
Oh, yeah, Kaiser, yeah. Oh, praise the Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Oh, God, we give you glory. We give you honor, Lord God. Oh, Father, why are we giving you this? Because, God, you have given us these babies, oh, God. And, Lord, you have put them in our way, oh, God, to pray for them, oh, God. We thank you for that, God, because we could have never known, oh, God, these babies, Lord God. But, oh, God, for a purpose and a reason, God, you have brought these four children, oh, God, before us, Lord. So, Lord, we lay them at your feet, Lord God, because, oh, God, we desire, God, that they be healed, oh, God, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, oh, God. Father, touch them right now. You know them name by name, oh, God. Look on little Rivera, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God, you made them each separately. They are from different parents, oh, God. They, oh, God, is to be loved, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. So look on little Revere, God. Touch him, oh, God. Father God, Chloe, God, that we've been, oh, God, bringing before you, Lord God. Oh, God, keep her, oh, God, Father God. Oh, God, in that secret place with you, God, and let nothing pluck her out of your hands, oh, God. Father God, Zoe, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Oh, God, just, oh, Father God, let the angels, oh, God, be encamped all around these children, God. Oh, Father, and they be kept from the hand of the enemy, everything that the enemy trying to do to them, God. Lord, we curse it at the roots in the name of Jesus, that they shall live and not die. And God, oh, Father God, every liver transplant that they have to take a heart, God, oh, Father God, Lord God, oh, God, we know that you are the healer, Lord God, and there's nothing too hard for you to do, God. Lord, we just lift up, oh, God, Kaiser to you, Lord God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, God, oh, you love little children, for you said it, God. You said some of the little children that come unto you, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, thank you, Father God, you made them for a purpose and a reason. Oh, God, and that devil is trying to, oh, God, bring all kind of inflictions and, oh, God, upon them, God. Oh, Father God, and cause their parent to be or depressed, oh, God. But the devil is a liar. Oh, praise God, the Lord God. These children, is, oh, God, is here for a purpose and a reason, God. And we are believing you, God, that they're going to live out, God. Live out the purpose and
and a reason, God. Oh, God, that they, oh, God, will be, oh, God, a mouthpiece, oh, God, in the land, God. Oh, Father God. Oh, God, whatever position as they grow, God, as they mature, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, it'll be a wonder in the eyes of men, oh, God, and say, look what the Lord has done. For the Lord has done great and mighty things in the lives of these children that we have prayed for over the years, God. Lord, we'll continue to pray, God. We'll continue to lift them up. We want to watch and see them grow in the admonition of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for each one of them, oh, God, and give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. All right, I'm going to ask, let's see, we need someone to pray. I'm going to ask Sister Gloria Dean if you could pray for the leaders of our country and the leaders of our church. Sister Gloria Dean, you there?
It's all, I had your mute.
Phone.
Okay, I'm sorry, yeah. Yeah, well, I thank God today, thank God for prayer requests, but I thank you, Lord, for the leaders all over the world today and leaders in our church, Father God. We pray, God, for all these leaders now, God. We have them all over the world today, God. Put them all to death all over the world. And, God, that some are over their countries, their states and cities and things, Father. But we pray these ones, God, that they have a relationship. If they don't have a relationship with God, that they will get a relationship with God. And that's why we pray now, God, that these people that leaders out in the world and everything, that they will begin to have the knowledge of God, to be saved and begin to know the Lord thy God in order to help them to lead the people, because we all need a touch from God, and also their life has to be according to where it be to serve the country. So, God, we just thank that you just take care of all the leaders, God. Father God, take the envy out of them. Take the jealousy out of them, one another. That's why so much picking going on in the cities and thing, the states, because this one like what this one's doing, that's not like what the other's doing. And that's the same thing in churches too, God. But God, we pray for all leaders that they begin to know you, Father, in the name of Jesus, and all of their sins, God. And we pray that each one of these leaders, God, whether it's a bank or wherever they are, that someone, you send someone in life to tell them about the Lord, so they can change, God, because it's time for change. They've been taking over a job for 10 years, and they still have not changed. And things are still going away. They act ugly, and they're not mean. But and getting people off the jobs, just, you know, this moving them, this place and that place to put this one there and all these things. They're doing all kind of things. But we thank you, Lord. They need to know the Lord. We pray, God, that they will, all these leaders now, that they will know the Lord, God. That's going to help them, Father. And, Father God, if they just read the Bible sometimes, just read the Bible. But, God, we pray for all of them that they will change. And, God, we know it's going to be a change. If we pray, it's going to be a change. And, Father God, we pray for the leaders of the church, God. The leaders in the church, the pastors, God. You say in Jeremiah 3:15, you're going to give us pastors according to your heart that's going to feed us with knowledge and understanding. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you for Sister Corita, Father, right now. We thank you for her. And we thank you, all, we know, God. And we thank you, Lord, for all the ones that's in the ministry right now, God. We pray, God, that they have a heart after God. Really seek the Lord. Seek the Lord that they can live according to the word of God. We come against jealousy, envy, and all these things out of the church and away from the leaders, God. We thank you, Lord, that they will continue to pray with one another, God. Pray with one another, God, so they won't go against one another. But, God, we pray for all that they know one may have this and know it's wrong, the other may have this, but, God, they need to pray. And ask God to deliver them. Deliver them. Heal them. Let them be set free. Father, we thank you. We love you, glory, God. And all the President of the United States of America, God, he's a leader. Praise God. I thank you, Lord, for him. Because I remember God said to me about that. He said, whoever's going to be the president, he said, pray that they know him. That they'll take care of the people. That won't be no plate in the White House. Won't be anything like that. And to just seek him. Praise God. They got to know him. They got to seek him for the knowledge and knowing what to do. pray for the President of the United States of America, along with the Vice President, that they do according to the Word of God, that they get to know the Lord now in the cause of all of their sins, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that they're not going to play in that White House, God. And, God, this goes for the churches, too. You can't play in the church. When no pastors, nobody playing in churches. All these leaders praying, all, just playing it all the time. Just taking for granted the job of God and just not taking it serious, God. But unless we put God in our life first, unless God comes into our life first, it's going to be a change. The change will be the help. And we thank you, Lord, that they get that change. We pray, God, that they receive Christ in life, God. All the people, all the leaders all over this world, God, and all the leaders in the churches, dear God, all touch in a mighty way, God. Touch them in a mighty way, Father God. Let them see themselves, God. Let them see themselves, God. Know themselves, what's wrong or whatever, Father. And they can pray, Father. Pray, Father. And you will hear their prayers, God. You be right there at their beck and call, Father, because it's going to take prayer. And then others will be praying with them if they would like to. You know, if they would advise it to some of them, maybe some of them won't know anything about it. But sometimes we need a prayer partner. We need a prayer partner a lot of times. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for all the leaders and all leaders in the world and all the leaders in the churches today. Let your blessings be upon each one of them individually, Father, in Jesus' precious name, our Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Lurdine. I want to say this before we close out. You know, there's a bigger picture than what we see. We think it's just us and our family or our church family or our city or our state, but God has a bigger picture. Life isn't personal to us. We think that because this one rolled their eye and this happened and that happened, you think, oh, we take it personal. But it's a bigger picture that we need to focus on. See, Joseph, he didn't have no bitterness. He didn't have no resentment. He focused on a bigger picture because he knew that God had a plan. He didn't know what it was. God didn't always, you know, always reveal to us. He didn't reveal to Job. Job, you're going to go through a storm. Nope. But, you know, like I said, Job said, can I take evil as well as good at the hand of God? And God orders our steps. Sometimes part of the steps that is ordered, trials come, and you go like, whoa, bam, bam, there's enough, bam, bam, like a knockout punch. But God ordered it. So don't you take it personal. The people in your life, God put in there for a reason. God's people he took out, he took them out for a reason. So don't you worry.
Oh, my God.
Life is not personal to you. It is not personal to you. So
oh,
somebody
God.
Hurt your feelings? Bible says don't take offense. Pray for that person. Say, Lord, you know what? Judas, if Judas knew that what he was born to do, I'm sure he probably, Judas, he probably would have still been alive if he'd have known that he had to come against the Son of God. Who want to be born to take 30 pieces of silk to kill Jesus? No. But Jesus kept focused. He knew, God, I know life isn't personal to me. I got a bigger picture to look at. My bigger picture has nothing to do with why I'm down here. It's a bigger picture. It's a reason you are sitting here on the earth. So ask the Lord and keep that bigger picture. You see, like God is molding and shaping. And sometimes he uses people. You go like, out, out. He's molding and shaping you, and it's painful. But there's a bigger picture. So get the bigger picture, Lord. I know that you have a plan. All these thousands and billions of people, you have a plan. And we fit in that plan of God. He orders our steps. Orders our steps. So it's not personal to you. Don't take life personal. Somebody offends you, pray for them. Say, Lord, you know so-and-so offended me. Oh, and they keep doing it. My husband keep offending me. My wife keep offending me. And my brother keep offending. Why, Lord? Pray for him. And sometimes we get offended and we don't even, it wasn't even meant for an offense. We take it wrong. God told me one time, he said, you know you misunderstand people? Most of the time, I'm going to tell you, we misunderstand one another. That's why the Bible said we got presumptuous sins. We presume that this sister or that brother meant this when they could have meant that. Meaning is in people, not in words they say. Meaning is in people. So keep that in mind. I love you all, Sister Nett. Could you make it short? A short close of breath. I love you all. Thank you.
And Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Lord, you have spoken to our hearts today, and we do rejoice, and we are glad, Lord God. We thank you that we're changing, Lord God, from glory to glory, faith to faith, strength to strength, Lord, understanding to understanding. God, we desire that your way and will be done in our lives, that you be glorified. We bind all backlash, retaliation, revenge, Father. We plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one that's on the line and affiliated with the line. And God, we just say, be it unto us according to your purpose, your plan, and your will, that you be glorified in our lives. And Lord God, we'll be careful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. It's in the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray and give you thanks. Amen.
Amen.
And I love you all. Talk to you all soon. Love you.
I love you too, Miss G.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sister Jean. Thank you.